Hello everyone, welcome to the session on Start with the Kotlin Flow. Thank you all for joining the session today. My name is Abhishek Srivastav and I have worked with companies like Samsung, Gaana and Dream 11. And I have been coding in Android since Ice Cream Sandwich onwards. You can also find me on Twitter with the handle Abhishek_Shri. So let's look at how we can perform long running tasks in Android. So there are various ways of doing it. Either we can do it using threads or Kotlin coroutines, or there are a lot of third party libraries out there which we can use. So let's look at how we can do long running operation using threads. So assume we have a function compute which does some long running task and does some heavy calculation, and after the computation finish it returns a result. So we can wrap this in a lambda and pass it to the thread object, and once the compute is finished then we can pass the result back to the callback so that the caller is notified. And if we have to do this using coroutines, we can either make the compute function suspending and call it from the coroutine scope, and also we can like wrap this in a function and then call that function from the coroutine scope. So on the left you can see how we do this with thread, and on the right you can see how we are doing this with Kotlin coroutine. Now let us assume like if we have to perform some another long running operation once the first operation finishes, then in the thread way we'll have to pass the lambda, and after the callback is finished we'll have to again invoke a new function call. And with the Kotlin coroutine we can sequentially write all the function, and we can get the result of the function, and then we can easily pass that result to the second function as well. Again, if we have to wrap it in again new callback, so this would lead to a callback hell. And also with the Kotlin coroutine version as well this would happen because of the compiler magic we are not able to see it, but how actually it happens. The function is passed with a continuation object, and once the function finishes then the continuation object is resumed, so which actually would result in a callback hell. Now let's consider a case where we have to perform regular updates. So assume we have a repository which is being backed by a database, and the repository is publishing frequent updates, and based on those updates UI has to update. So can we do it using Kotlin coroutine? So since we know like suspend function only returns a single value and doesn't work with the streams of data, so let's look how we can do this. So here comes a Kotlin flow to the rescue. So let's look at what is Kotlin flow. So flow is an asynchronous data stream which can emit multiple values and which would either complete normally or with an exception. And we have been hearing a lot about streams. So let's understand what streams mean. So streams are a sequence of ongoing events ordered in time. Stream could be of user click events, could be of database updates, or could be of anything. We can make a stream. So in Kotlin flow, we have three entities. One is the producer, then we have an intermediary, and then we have a consumer. Producer and consumer would be there, but intermediary could be there or could not be there, so it is kind of an optional. So producer basically produces data and consumer basically consumes that data, and if we want to transform the data in between we can apply some function over it, and that is actually called as intermediary. So let's look at the flow API here. So to the flow builder API, you'll have to pass a lambda, and from that lambda, you can basically emit values. And usually flows are code. What it actually means, like if you see the block on the right, code block on the right hand side. So if we run this, we'll see it doesn't print anything. And the reason being, the collect operator has not been called on it. So flows are activated only when the collect operators are called on it. So it will start printing once we call the collect. Now let's look at Flow APIs. So we have an interface Flow, and inside which we have a suspending function collect, and that collect basically accepts a collector so that we can directly pass in the lambda and can emit values. And Flow collector also has a suspending function emit with which we can emit values. Now let's look at like how we can create Flow. So we have already seen using the Flow Builder API. And also if you have a whereas of element, you can use flow of function, and this would basically create a flow from 1 to 3. And let's suppose you have a list, so you can directly call the extension function as flow, which would convert that list in a flow. And we have a channel flow which are used with channels. So now let's look at the intermediate operators which we have. So there are a lot of operators available. I have just listed out a few common ones. So we have map, filter, take, zip, buffer, conflate, etc. So let's look at map operator. Consider the example given here. So here we have a flow which is emitting integers from 1 to 3, and then on the flow we have applied a map operator, and inside the map basically we are multiplying the value by 2 and then finally calling collect on it. So what would happen is like it's gonna emit a value, then a map operator would be applied on that value, and that value would be printed after. So you can see here like first emit 1, then map 1, then collect 2, then again emit 2, map 2, and then collect 4, and likewise. So let's consider a case where we only want to show the even elements, basically like filter out the odd elements. So we can apply filter operator there, and we can specify the constraint, and whatever elements met that constraint would be passed to the downstream. So here if you look at, we have this would emit 1, then 1 modulus 2 is 0, it doesn't satisfy, so it will not be printed. Then 2, 2 modulus 2 satisfies that, so it will be printed. Now let's look at buffer operator. So here you can see the flow builder is producing an item at the rate of per 100 millisecond, and collector is collecting at item per 200 millisecond. So the collector here is slow. So if you run this block of code, you'll see that it prints 1, 2, 3. And the time it would take to print is like it will take first delayed by 100, then it will be delayed by 200, total like 300 multiplied by 3 plus some offset value. So it will nearly take around 900 millisecond. But if we apply the buffer operator here, so what happens? Whatever value emitter is emitting, that would be collected in the buffer. It will be stored in the buffer. And once the collector is ready to accept it, then only it will flow in the collector. So this program would, if we run, it will take around 700 millisecond roughly, because first flow would be delayed by 100, and then the collector is delayed by 200, 200, 200, 600, and in the meantime, emitter has already filled all the values in the buffer. Now let's look at conflate operator. So what it does is basically since we can see here like the collector is slow by a 300 millisecond, and flow is producing at 100 millisecond. So only the terminal events would be collected, or the most recent events would be collected, and intermediate values could be skipped in this case. So if we look at like, because the first value is printed, then collector is delayed by 300 millisecond, then second is emitted, that would be ignored, and the third, which is the last one, so that would be collected by the collector. Now let's look at terminal flow operators. So we have collect, we have already seen collect here. Then we have single. So basically, if we try to emit more than one value, single would throw illegal state exception. Then we have reduce. So you can provide in a accumulator and some function which you want to apply over there. Then we have a to list. So whatever values has been emitted, you can pass it a list, and those value would be populated in the list, and then you can use that list. Then launchin basically accepts a coroutine scope, and the flow would run in that coroutine scope. So it's an extension function written over Kotlin flow. Now let's look at the flow properties. The number one is like context preservation, and then we have exception transparency. And these properties are very important, and these properties basically ensures that the flow code is readable and can be modularized in such a way that you can independently develop the downstream APIs and the upstream APIs. These are independent of each other. Now let's look at context preservation. So consider a case where we have a coroutine scope with a main dispatcher, and then inside the flow builder we are changing the context to dispatcher.io with context operator, and then calling collect function on it. So if we run this block of code, we'll see this will result in illegal state exception, and the exception would be flow invariant is violated. And the reason being, so it is the APIs are designed such a way that the flow builder cannot change the calling context. So context should never leak in to the downstream APIs. So if this would have been allowed, so consider like you are performing some operation. You have launched a coroutine scope and then calling collect, so that can result to some irregular states, because you will always have to be aware of the flow builder where it is actually running, in which context. So to preserve that, the APIs are designed in such a way that the context is always in scope of the calling where the flow is being launched. And now let's consider that we actually have a case where the collect has to be called on the UI thread, and in the flow builder we want to perform some heavy operation which is going to block the thread. So we can do this using flow on operator. With the flow on operator, we can basically change the context of the dispatcher. So what actually happens, whatever code you see above the flow on is called upstream, and below the flow on is downstream. So flow on operator only affects the scope of upstream flow. It is not going to affect the context of the downstream flow. So the emit function, this would be running in the IO dispatcher. Now let's look at exception transparency, what it actually means. So consider a case here where we have a UI scope. So UI scope is a scope which is tied to the life cycle of view, and then we have a data flow function which basically gives us a flow, and we are calling collect on it, and whatever data we are getting from the collect, on the basis of that data, update UI is being called. So it could happen that update UI could throw an exception, or the data flow could throw an exception. So we can wrap this in try catch block and can catch the exception, or you can like pass the coroutine scope exception handler, or you can catch there. And we also have a catch operator. So basically, whatever exception happens in the upstream would only be caught, and whatever exception which happens downstream would not be called. So this is the preferred way of doing it, so that the downstream exception always propagates back to the collector. And it is intended that flow builders should never catch exception. So this is called like this is, does it maintain the exception transparency property? Now let's look at flows in Android, how we can use flows in Android. The recent version of retrofits supports suspend function. So using the suspend function, you can create a flow also, and you can call emit from there. And flow APIs are integrated into many Jetpack libraries and other reactive libraries code, like whatever code you're using, other reactive libraries can be easily migrated to flow because the semantics is very similar, and all the reactive libraries kind of have a very common semantics. So, and the flow APIs are integrated in Room. So if you want to be notified of the database changes, so using Room, you can do that. All you have to do basically just the make the return type from your DAO to flow of T, and then those would be converted in a stream of flow. And using this, you can observe the changes and can act accordingly. And the flow APIs are integrated with live data. So for doing this, you'll have to add the dependency of live data KTX. And then basically there are extension function available, which basically converts live data to flow. And you can call live data dot as flow to convert it to flow. And then there are extension function which you can call on flow to convert back to live data or to convert it to live data. So you will have to call dot as live data, and it will return you a live data object. So now let's look at how we are going to unit test our flows. The way you unit test your flows depend on the module or block where you are using flow, whether flow is being used as an input or as an output. So by input, I mean like a flow is acting as a producer, it is emitting some data values, or consumer, basically like it is collecting some values. So how we can test our producers? So we can create a fake producers. So let's suppose like we have a flow producer contract. So you can create a fake flow producer, and you can override the flow APIs there, and can emit test values from there. And inside your test, you'll have to use the keyword run blocking. So what basically run blocking does it? It creates a test coroutine scope, which have a test coroutine dispatcher and test coroutine exception handler, and accepts a lambda test body in which the test executes. And also this makes all the suspending function execute immediately, but it doesn't account for delays. So if you have provided any delay, so that delay would be added. And if you want to avoid that delays, then you can use run blocking test. So here if you see like a producer we have created, and then first item you can call on flow.first. This would return you the first item, and then basically you can have a assertion logic there, and you can verify. Since you know that this is emitting item one, here we have assertion on the first item whether it is equal to item one or not. And let's assume like the flow is returning multiple values, so you can directly convert it to the list, and then can check with whether list you have obtained is equal to the list which we have created here, all data. And also like you can use all the operators there to intelligently test your flows. So basically like if you want to test the second item, so you can call drop, which will drop the first item, then the second item would become the first, and you can then have assertion, or you can convert it back to the list and add your assertion logic or to list, or you can look at all these APIs and can unit test those and can use these in your unit test. Thank you everyone for joining the session today. It was an amazing experience speaking virtually in front of all the Kotlin enthusiasts out there. Thanks.